We're going to continue our sermon series in the Gospel of John this morning. So if you have your Bible or your iPad or your iPhone, feel free to turn to John chapter 15. As you're turning there this morning, let me just kind of remind you of where we've been and talking in this series. Lately, we've been talking about this talk that Jesus had with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, the day before he'll die on the cross for all of our sins. Jesus gives this long talk to his disciples. In fact, just in the Gospel of John, John spends about four chapters talking about this. And so this is a long time that John spends here. And so we're going to continue here. And if you remember, at the end of chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples, come on, rise, let's get out of here. And so we can assume either they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, they're walking there, or they are there now. And when they get there or when they're on their way, Jesus tells his disciples this. He gives them an analogy. John chapter 15. This is what he tells them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay his life down for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. We're going to continue on and talk about what this means for our lives. But I don't want it to be my words. I want it to be God's. And so we're going to ask for his help this morning with that. And just so you know, that's why we always dive into God's word. It's not just my thoughts. It's not just things that I've heard or things that I've read from random books and random other people. This is God's word. And it has authority over our lives. And it affects how we ought to live our lives. And so let's ask God for his help with that this morning, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning, and we thank you for just the access that we have to it. It's so easy nowadays, even with your iPhone or your iPad or whatever. God, we thank you for that, and we thank you that you've given us this time and space to talk about what that means and how that affects our lives and how that deepens our relationship with you. And so, Father, as we talk about that this morning, I pray that if there's something in our lives that you would like us to change, if there's something that you are calling us to do, Jesus, I pray that you would give us the authority over the enemy to say, it's changing, and I'm not going to be drawn down by my own preferences or my will, but only by yours, God. And so help us to live our life according to your will and your will alone. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hey, I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you need to function properly in life? I mean, without it, you're just not you. Maybe you're like a zombie. For some of you, yeah, I see it. Some of you, it's coffee, right? And not just like the first cup, the second cup, and then the third cup in the afternoon, the fourth cup and the fifth cup, right? And then during dinner and the evening, like you just need coffee. For some of you, maybe it's food. Without food, like it's 12:01 and you're like, it's lunchtime. What am I doing? I can't function here. All I can think about is Taco Bell, right? Like I need some food in my life. You know, for some of you, it might even be like a routine. Once you get out of a routine, you can't function properly. For some of you, maybe it's like temperature in a room or certain clothing. Let me tell you what it is for me. I can put up with just about anything. Routine, without food, without coffee, it doesn't matter for me. I'm kind of a pull yourself up from your bootstraps type of a dude, unless you take one thing away from me, and it's sleep. If you take away my sleep, like, and I need like a full 8 hours. If I get like 7, I'm a zombie, okay? I know I'm a baby when it comes to sleep. And if I don't get sleep, I mean, I start to shut down. I get sad. I get unproductive. And I'm just like, I can't function here, right? I can't function properly. We all have those things, right, that we need in life that we're like, if I don't have this, I literally feel like I can't keep going on, right? I just can't do this any longer. And that's kind of funny with those examples, but you know, sometimes in life, we get to that point in our life, whether it be with your relationship with your spouse or with your finances or with your job, or maybe even with your faith, where you get to that point and you're saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep going on like this. I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage. I don't know, but like, there's so much strife in between me and my spouse, or there's so many things going on with my job, with my boss. I just don't know what to do any longer. You ever feel in life like you just hit a wall and you're just saying, I can't keep going on anymore like this. I can't keep doing it. What do you do in life when you feel like that? When you're saying, I can't do this any longer. I can't keep going on. Jesus starts off this passage of scripture and he says, I am the true vine. And you know, if you've been a Christian a while, if you've been in church a while, we get this. John chapter 15, famous chapter. We get the analogy, right? Like Jesus is saying, okay, he's the vine. We're connected to him, branches, God the Father. He's the vine dresser. He's going to prune things, right? And we kind of just buzz on over this phrase that Jesus says, I am the true vine. But let me tell you, this is extremely important. In fact, all throughout the Old Testament, there are references to this vine. But here's the problem. All throughout the Old Testament, the references to the vine always equate to Israel's unfaithfulness. Let me just summarize Psalm 80 for you. We don't have time to read it. I encourage you to read it this afternoon or this week at some point. But if you read Psalm 80, it gives this awesome analogy. And this is not the only example in the Old Testament. They're all throughout the Old Testament. Psalm 80 is kind of the most vibrant one, though, that God gives this analogy of this vine. And he says, I made this perfect land, and I plowed it, and I prepared it for Israel. And he's talking about the promised land. He says, I put it there in this perfect land, and I gave it everything it needed, water and sunshine, but it grew and it was unfaithful. It grew a different way than I wanted it to. It didn't bear me the right fruit, and so other things took it over. That's talking about the exile of Israel, and it's always that Israel is unfaithful all throughout the Old Testament. And so when Jesus is saying, hey, Israel isn't the true vine, I am the true vine, what Jesus is really saying is he's saying, hey, what you could never do on your own, what you could never accomplish correctly on your own, I can accomplish. I am the true vine. I can accomplish more than you could ever do on your own. And so to his Jewish audience, to his disciples, like their mind would have been blown when Jesus says, oh, hey, you know what? The vine, it's not Israel. It's me. I am the true vine, and I can do what you could never do. And so I think this is a perfect passage when you feel like you just can't keep going on any longer. When you're saying, I don't know what to do with my job, I don't know what to do with my spouse, I don't know what to do with my finances. When you feel like that, when you feel like life has just hit a wall, this is a perfect passage to turn to. Because Jesus is saying, what you can't do, I can do for you. And so he continues on. He says, my father is a vine dresser. And before we get any further in the sermon today, and before we get any further in Jesus' talk, I think it's important that we understand this analogy that Jesus is using. Because let's be honest, like even if we have like a huge garden at home, I mean, if we're real, like 99% of our food comes from restaurants and grocery stores, right? Like most of us are not growing our own food any longer. Now, Jesus' disciples, they would understand, you know, a little bit more about agriculture and how that works. And so let me just quickly explain what happens. I have two fruit trees in my yard. I got a picture of it right there. Here they are. One of them looks a little straggly. The one on the left, that's a pear tree. It looks kind of straggly. There's not a whole lot of branches going on. But the one on the right is really full. It's got a bunch of branches. It's an apple tree. Here's the problem, though. The one that's really straggly, the one on the left there, it produces hundreds of pieces of edible fruit, hundreds of pears, and they're all great. I don't typically eat them because I get grossed out because of bugs and stuff, but I could eat them, right? Like, it produces a ton of pears, and they're all huge. But here's the thing. I trim that tree. Every year I go to it and I look at the branches that aren't producing fruit or aren't producing enough fruit. And I keep the good ones and I chop off the ones that aren't doing their job correctly. Because here's the deal. There's only so many nutrients that that tree has. And so if it has less branches, those nutrients go to the branches that are producing fruit, and those fruit that tree produces are good, they're edible. But the apple tree, I'm kind of lazy and I don't trim it, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just for a sermon analogy, I don't know. But it's full of branches. It has a ton of branches on it. And here's the thing that apple tree produces. It produces hundreds and hundreds of apples, but here's the problem. They're all about the size of a ping pong ball. All right, they're tiny. They're completely worthless. My dog won't even eat them, okay? Like, they are completely worthless, and it just angers me in the fall time when I have to clean them up and the lawnmower gets, like, all, like, garbaged up with them, right? Like, it's just a pain. It's a nuisance. But that's my fault. I don't trim that tree. If I trimmed that tree, the nutrients would go to less branches, to less pieces of fruit, and every single piece of fruit that it produces would be more plump and more reasonable size to be actually used. And so in this passage, when Jesus is saying that my Father, he's the vine dresser, he's actually referring to grapevines here, but any fruit tree would work here. He's saying, hey, my Father, he's the vine dresser, and his job is literally to go through all those branches and take away, prune off, cut off the ones that aren't producing enough fruit or aren't producing good fruit or aren't producing any fruit. And so that's why I think in John chapter 15, verse 2, when Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That's why I think that this is actually a really heavy sentence. It's a really heavy verse that Jesus is talking about. You know, a lot of times, you know, we could read that and go, okay, God's trying to get the things out of my life that, you know, are bad. You know, maybe just sinful or unproductive. Well, that's half of it, right? Because he talks about, you know, the branches that aren't producing any fruit. Yeah, we know that needs to get out of our life, right? We know when we're in a habitual sin, that's got to get out of my life. We know when we're wasting time, that's not productive with my life. I know when I watch 6 hours of Netflix, it's not good for me, right? Like I'm binging and it's just not productive. It's not producing fruit. I know that needs to go. But look at what he also says. He says, and every branch that does bear fruit, look at this, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Here's the first thing I want you to write down in your note outline if you're following along this morning. Is that you need to look for and be okay with God's pruning in your life. And you might be saying, well, how does that fit in, right? Like, if I feel like I just can't keep going on any longer, God needs to prune things out of my life? Here's the deal, guys. You may have things in your life that are causing you to feel like you're pushed up against the wall, that are causing you to feel like you just can't keep going on any longer. And God's saying, I want that out of your life. And you might be thinking, well, man, some of those things in my life, I feel like I'm doing good things, right? I'm not just sitting at home watching Netflix all day, right? Like, I'm doing good things. Yeah, but do you remember what Jesus says? Even the branches that bear fruit, he trims that you may bear more fruit. You may be in life, and you might be like my apple tree, where you're producing hundreds of pieces of fruit, but they're all completely worthless. They're all golf ball sized. Maybe you need to be pruned back so that you can produce edible, good fruit in life. So that's this process that God wants us to go along, where he, in our life, where he says, I want to transform you to look more and more like me. That involves pruning. And pruning really hurts sometimes. You know, I mean, literally, think about it. If you were a tree and I'm just like whacking off a branch, right? I mean, if I just took a saw and cut off your arm, like that would hurt, right? You're saying, yes, that's extremely painful. That may feel like things getting out of your life. That may feel like, you know what? There's some relationships, maybe some friendships or acquaintances that I have that just aren't good. Or maybe they're just causing me to be too spread out, right? Too wide, but not deep enough. I'm too spread out, and I can't produce the amount of fruit that God wants me to, the depth of fruit that God wants me to. And that may really stink, and that may really hurt in your life. But I guarantee you, if you want to produce good fruit, you have to not only look for, but you got to be okay with God's pruning in your life. And so you got to say, God, what is it in my life that you want out? What is it that I'm spending too much time on? What is it that I'm putting too many resources in? And I'm forgetting about the most important things. You know, sometimes we get so busy in life. And like, when did life get good when we're busy, right? Like, you ever hear somebody, hey, how you doing? Keeping busy, right? Why is that good, right? That's like associated with good things in life. But why? Because it seems as almost like Jesus is saying, hey, there's some things in life that you got to get out of there if you want to produce the amount of fruit that God wants you to. And so you got to not only look for, but you got to be okay with it too. And you got to say, hey, God, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. So tell me what I need to get out of my life. And Jesus in the next verse, he says in verse 3, this is like scandalous. When you read it at first, it almost seems like out of place. He says, already, you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Now, you might be like, weren't we just talking about pruning? What's going on here? Why are we talking about cleaning now? God is saying I'm clean. Well, in the original language, in the Greek, you can translate the word that they've translated as pruning also as cleaning. Think about it. My pear tree looks a little bit cleaner because it has less branches. There's just less going on, right? And so it's almost as Jesus is saying to his disciples, hey, here's the life transformation process that God wants to bring you along with as he prunes things out of your life and you start producing fruit. Maybe he sprouts off different branches that produce better fruit or just fruit that he wants from you. But Jesus is saying, hey, but you already are clean. So it's almost as if he's saying, hey, you've trusted your life in me. You're saved. You're good to go there. But there's also this process of pruning that God wants to bring you along, that fancy process called sanctification, right, where he transforms you to be more like him and less like you. And so Jesus is saying, hey, there's that one point where you're saved, and then there's this lifelong process where God makes you less like you and more like him. And Jesus continues on here in verse 4, and he says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. And for apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You ever feel like, you ever just life put you up against a wall? You're like, I can't do this any longer. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, hey, if you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. It's just not going to happen. And he continues on here in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Isn't that interesting? He just brought this up the last chunk of scripture in chapter 14. We talked about this. When you pray in God's name and in Jesus' name, and you abide in the Holy Spirit, you trust in him, you can ask whatever you wish. And Jesus here again is saying, when I bring you along this life transformation process, you become less like you and more like me. And so because you're becoming more like God, then you can ask God anything because he's saying, hey, you're going to ask things that are according to my will. Because you're coming along this life transformation process, you're becoming more and more like Christ. And so by becoming more like Christ, you're asking things according to God's will. And he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Here's what I want you to write down if you're following along this morning, is to abide in Christ and bear his fruit. You gotta abide in Christ and bear his fruit. If you feel like life's put you up against the wall and you just can't keep going on any longer, you need to abide in Christ. You need to get back into his word. You need to get back to spending time with him. You need to get back to praying. You need to get back to church and spending time with other Christians, encouraging you in your faith. This is what it means to abide in Christ, is to say, God, I trust you with everything. And so I'm going to enter into this relationship, and I'm going to allow you to dictate what my life looks like. And if that means pruning, if that means taking things out of my life, if that means doing other things, Jesus, I'm going to do it for you. Because I'm going to abide in you. And the outcome of that is bearing fruit. And Jesus said too, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's this upward cycle that he brings you along. When you say, yes, I trust in you, and he brings you along this life transformation process, guess what happens? You naturally obey his commandments. Obedience is the natural outcome of loving Jesus and allowing him to be allowing yourself to be transformed by him. This is just the natural outcome, because if you're loving Jesus with everything you got, if you're spending time with him, right, it's pretty difficult to be listening to worship music in your car and flip somebody off that just cut you off, right? Like, that's difficult. Why? Because if you're allowing God to transform your heart, you look less like you and more like him. And so I think it's important, though, at this point that we define what fruit is. You know, because for many of us, like, fruit looks differently. You know, many of us think that, you know, if I'm fruitful, I'm making money, right? Like, this is good, or I have a good relationship, or people think highly of me, or I have a good job. What does it mean to be fruitful? Paul says it like this in Galatians 5, 22 and 24. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see what Paul is writing here? In fact, earlier on in Galatians chapter 5, he talked about what it looks like to be ruled by your passions and your fleshly desires. And he says, if you want to bear God's fruit, you got to put an end to that stuff. You're going to die to yourself, be transformed like Jesus, to be more and more like him, and then guess what? You're going to bear his fruit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's all there is to it. And he says, this is the type of fruit that I want you to bear. Because a lot of us, we say, you know, I'm going to bear money. I need to make more money. I need to look good. I need this other job. And then, then God will transform me. Well, that's just not the case. God says, this is what I want you to look like because this is what I look like. God says, this is my character, and I want you to have my character in your life. And did you catch what Jesus said in verse 11in our passage here, John chapter 15? I want to read it for you. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Some of your translations may say your joy may be complete. So here's the deal. If you allow God to prune things out of your life, and you allow God to bring you on to this life transformation process where you look like more like him and less like you, guess what happens? Guess what the natural outcome of all that is? It's being joyful. And there's like a difference between happiness and joyfulness, right? Because, like, you put me in a Jeep and give me a burger, like, I'm happy. Like, I'll be happy all day long. But the next day, if I don't sleep right, I'm not happy, right? It doesn't matter how many Jeep rides or burgers I eat. I'm just not happy, okay? And for you, you know, like, sometimes, like, we're finicky. We're humans, right? If we don't get our coffee or we it's the wrong temperature in the room, you know, we get finicky, right? Some of us might get angry or might get irritable, right? Like, that just happens. We're finicky people. But here's the thing. Joyful, being joyful in your life, that's a mindset. That's something that's overarching. And so you can be sad but have joy in your life, because ultimately you know God's in control and I'm doing his will and I'm allowing him to transform me. And even if life doesn't go my way, God's got it. That's what joy looks like. And Jesus says the outcome of all of this, the pruning, the life transformation process, abiding in him, bearing his fruit, the outcome of that is joy. And I think joy is like the opposite feeling of feeling, I can't do this any longer, right? Like when you feel in life, like I just can't keep going on anymore. whatever it is, with your relationship with your spouse or with money or your job, like whatever you feel like, I just can't keep going on any longer. I can't keep on doing this anymore. Like the opposite of that is being joyful and saying, God's got a purpose for my life, and no matter how life goes, I'm going to honor him with every single thing that I do. It's not about me. It's about him. That's the opposite. And so the antidote to feeling like that is to say, God, all right, get the things out of my life that you want out. I'm willing to prune it. And I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to continually dive into my relationship with Jesus and grow in that. And I'm going to bear your fruit. And out of that, I'll keep your commandments. And out of that, I'll have joy. And Jesus says there's one more natural outcome to going along on this process. There's one more natural outcome. He continues on. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, we've talked about this before, and Jesus has brought this up before in the Gospel of John. And Jesus says it again. This is the natural outcome of that. And he gives a couple of analogies. He says, you know, like, you're no longer going to be servants. You're my friends, and there's no greater love than this, that somebody lay his life down for his friends. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, I'm laying my life down for you. I'm literally going to die on the cross for you. And he ends it like this here in verse 17. He simply says this in verse 17. These things I command you so that you will love one another. And so the last thing I want you to know, the third blank in your note outline, is just to love like Jesus, to love like him. Because the natural outcome of allowing God to transform your heart is looking like Christ and loving like Christ. And here's the deal with this. If you don't allow God to do these other things in your life first, if you don't allow him to prune things out of your life, if you're not abiding in him, if you're not allowing him to bear his fruit out of your life, you're not going to look like Jesus, and you're not going to love like Jesus either. Think about it like this. A friend calls you up, and they're like, hey, you know, my marriage is on the fritz. I really need to talk about some things. And you go, well, you know, I kind of got this golf game going on. And then after that, I'm going out with my buddies to the restaurant. And then, you know, after that, you're like, well, that's because probably you're too widespread, right? You haven't allowed God to prune these things out of your life to have the time and the energy to do the things that God wants you to do and to love like Jesus loved. So how do you love like Jesus loved? Well, Jesus puts it like this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He says, if anyone would come to me, come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, we talk about taking up our cross and following Jesus, right? But a lot of times we leave that phrase out, let him deny himself. If you want to love like Jesus loved, if you truly want to follow him, you got to deny yourself. You got to wipe your own preferences out of your life. And sometimes that means saying, all right, God, I'm okay with pruning. I'm okay with getting the things that I really like in my life, or maybe I feel like are even producing fruit. I'm okay with those coming out of my life if that's what you say, Jesus. You know, because so many times we get so distracted by the little tiny fruit that we're producing that we don't say, what if this could look better? What if I could bear more fruit by having less branches in my life? What does that look like in your life? I want to ask you that question. What's it look like for God to prune some things out of your life? What's God putting on your heart right now that you just say, all right, you know what? This needs to go. This needs to get out of my life. Or maybe God's calling you to something. And he's saying, hey, you need to abide in me, and I need to sprout some branches from your life. I need to start some things different in your life because what you have been doing just hasn't been working. Maybe there's some branches that need to come off your life for you to produce some more fruit. And here's the warning I want to leave you with. Did you catch what Jesus said about the branches that don't produce fruit? He says they get cut off, and they get piled up, and they get burned. We get that, right? We do that in the fall, right? If you live kind of out in the country, you can burn your leaves or burn your old branches or whatever. And that's what happens when we say, you know, God, I'm not going to go on this life transformation process. I'm not going to allow you to transform me any longer. Unfortunately, that's what can happen to us, is that we can fade away and we can walk away from the faith. Because here's what the enemy, I think, can hold us on to, hold on to us with. So if we're not growing, if we're not allowing God to transform our heart, what can happen is God could, or the enemy could just lie to us and say, oh, you're fine. You're saved. You're good to go. And that may be true. You may be good to go. You may be saved. But here's the thing. You're either growing or you're dying. So if you're not growing in your faith and you're reverting, it's going to be really easy for you to walk away from Jesus. And so I think what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, hey, if you feel like you just can't keep going on any longer, just abide in me. Bear my fruit. Allow me to prune some of those things out of your life that need to get out of there. If you feel like you are saying a lot of times, I just don't have time for this. I just don't have time. I just don't have time. I just don't have time. Maybe it's time that, you know, God is saying it's time to prune some things. Maybe that's the case. Because if you don't have that allowance in your life to love like Christ, maybe it's time to prune some things. And if you don't allow for God to prune some things out of your life, it's going to inhibit your ability to love like Jesus. Let me pray for you. God, we